You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, final hour of the DP Show this week. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Hit us up on Twitter at HowAboutAFresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, and we're going to have more on the J.J. Watt story coming up in a second. But, Doug, you and I, our conversation kind of got halted a bit there a few minutes ago. We're talking about the new logo, what the new nickname for the Cleveland Indians is going to be, as they sent out a questionnaire to their fans, kind of what do they want, what are they looking for in a nickname. And, you know, the more I think about it, the Spiders just jumps out at me, right? Kind of like the new Seattle hockey team's going to be the Kraken. And when right away you can get into release the Kraken and you can hear the loud rock music and people going crazy at the games and some kind of Kraken mascot you have and some loud music, it just sounds right. And, you know, and the Cleveland Spiders, you know, just seeing some of the designs, the Block C made of a big spider, and you mentioned arachnophobia, like that's something that just hits me right away. Like, yes, the Spiders, something intimidating, something fun that fans of all ages can have on. And, you know, you can have all these other names you threw out, you know, the Guardians and other names they had out there. But Spiders just like kind of leaps out at me as being that nickname that should wind up going to Cleveland.
All right, good enough. Big hairy spiders everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And spiders are, I don't mind spiders. They do. They eat other bugs and I like squishing them. So, but when you say spiders jump out at you, that gives people with arachnophobia even more fear. So thank you for having people all across the country listening to the Dan Patrick Show. Think of that.
Well, all I'm doing is talking about a nickname. I'm not trying to put everybody under a bed going, I'm not coming out. There's a spider somewhere and you're going to kill it for me. I'm not that guy.
Fair enough.
Although I will say when I walk, if I walk into a spider web, that's like such a big source of stress for like 2 or 3 seconds. Like walking in my house once in a while or somewhere you walk in and you just walk into a spider web and if it goes across your face, that like next 2 seconds when you go pff, 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 like you just thinking there's some huge spider about to sink its fangs into you. It's a black widow or it's the fallow web spider or something that's going to say, you go, I got to get rid of it, the spider. Okay, it's not on me. All right, we're cool. Yeah, just a spider web. I'm good. But that 2 or 3 seconds, a lot of stress.
Let's get to the story of the day. J.J. Watt gets released from the Houston Texans. He puts out a video like, hey, look, I want to get out ahead of it. Like, yeah, JJ, sorry. Twitter beat you to it. Like, the poor guy. It's like, look, I don't want to write something. I don't want to do, I'm just going to put in a message to me right away. Like, I'll break the story. Like, yeah, sorry. Kind of beat you to it. What was your immediate reaction?
I wasn't surprised because it felt like the Texans were going this way. I mean, look, they've been cleaning house for a while now. And clearly, J.J. Watt's not the player he was, so this is not a surprising thing for me. But just the fact that now you have a team that has gotten rid of, since Jack Easterby got hired, all right, in April of 2019, they have gotten rid of their GM, their head coach, not that Bill O'Brien was great, but still, you're talking about get rid of a head coach, your GM. They traded DeAndre Hopkins. They got rid of their head of PR. Their team president resigned, and now here goes team captain J.J. Watt. All right, so it's a clear house cleaning that we're doing when you didn't really need to house clean. You were a pretty good football team. You had a lot of talent there. And I see players like J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. Forget about the how happy they are. Are they going to listen to me when I say things? When you're a player like J.J. Watt and you're Deshaun Watson, right? When you look at the Houston Texans, can you sit here and say, yeah, we're going to win sometime the next 4 or 5 years? You can't. And when J.J. Watt said he asked for his release, I get it. I get why Deshaun Watson wants out, because it's not always just about listening to me and having sway over who the offensive coordinator is or who the head coach is going to be. It's, is this team going to win? I mean, are you just going to go and get your brains beat in for the next 3 or 4 years? Because
no, you just told me before that that this is a league where you can go from 4-12 to being in the playoffs. Now, why is that impossible for the Houston Texans?
Because the Texans have no draft picks to be able to rebuild their roster with.
It's not true. They don't have a first round draft pick. What do you mean? Like they don't have
those
draft picks?
Those are franchise players. You're supposed to get in the first round.
Okay, but that's not no draft picks. Okay?
They don't have
no first round draft picks.
Yeah, first round draft picks is where you hit on guys that are going to change your franchise.
Is JJ Watt worth $17.5 million?
No, he's not.
He's a cap casualty. That's it.
He's at the end. I get it. I get it, but when you don't have those picks to say, okay, in the first round we can draft a game changer at some position, and you don't have any money to spend. I mean, you don't have money to spend.
Well, how do you think you get money to spend, Jason? You get money to spend by getting rid of guys that are overpaid. That's what you do. You keep Laremy Tunsil because he's your starting left tackle. Okay, you keep Deshaun Watson because he's your starting quarterback. And then you rebuild the rest of the franchise around those signature pieces. Like, you're right. Their defense wasn't any good. So you know what you do? You don't stick with the same guys and go like, well, we'll be better next year, guys. That's not the way it works. You get rid of your overpaid pieces and you move on. And like, look, this is actually where Caserio has been great, is finding guys at value around the league. That's what they did in New England. They didn't draft great with the first round draft picks. Second round picks and third round picks, that's where the real value is when you're rebuilding a team. How many of those can you accrue? And look, they can't go back and fix how much they paid for Laremy Tunsil in terms of draft picks, which, by the way, it's not a crazy ask. Starting left tackle, two first round draft picks and a contract. Like, you know, that's what Khalil Mack is, a signature player on the defense for the Bears. It's the same price. It just is. And you know, the Dolphins benefit from the fact that the Texans are bad, but that wasn't kind of part of the plan. It was supposed to be a mid-20s pick. It ends up being a top-5 pick. Dems to breaks. But I don't think anybody would say that's a bad deal. And the DeAndre Hopkins deal, where you got, you know, David Johnson went healthy, but he's never healthy. Okay, a second-round pick doesn't feel like it's enough. But the fact is, do you think Bill O'Brien would have dealt him if for a second round pick, if he could have gotten a first round pick for him? The answer is probably not. And why is DeAndre Hopkins, why was he not worth more? Because of the amount of money that he's going to want to make. So it all comes back to money. You're not wrong in that they weren't a good football team, but I mean, how do you have to go about rebuilding it. And by rebuilding it, you got to sell off or trade off or get rid of all the pieces that are overpriced and then start over. And that's what they're doing.
True, but it's not just the first round pick. They don't have a first or a second this year, so there's another value, another starter you're supposed to get. You're not going to get. I don't see the arrow going up for the Texans. All right, they hired a head coach that was really on nobody's radar, and you know, Cully may be a good head coach, but boy, I think this really tells you where the job was at in the league, that he's the person who got hired, and even though it's one job of only 32 in the world, they couldn't get anybody with a better pedigree and a better resume to go take it. I don't know that the Texans are set up for success. You have a new regime in that is, you know, just slash and cut everything. All right, you need to cut some things, but does this give you confidence that the Texans are going to be on the way up? You're also in a division where you are already and are going to be the worst team for a long time. All right, the Colts are a terrific team. They're going to add a quarterback this offseason, and suddenly, hey, they're going to be a Super Bowl favorite, right? We know how good the Titans are. Right? They figured things out. Derrick Henry's a superstar. Ryan Tannehill is the poster boy for being a reclamation project. And here come the Jaguars. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have a lot of money to go get players around him. You're looking at just getting drubbed in your division. How many games can you plan on winning, you know, in the next
year or two? So you've already put Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars ahead of the Texans, not knowing who plays for either team. Think about that.
Sure.
They made the playoffs the previous couple years. They're not that far off. They're not that terrible. They got off to a terrible start because they played a murderer's row schedule, and then things went to hell in a handbasket. Okay, but, you know, I mean, the idea that there's some awful franchise, like, they honestly, the 4 years previous to when Deshaun Watson arrived are very similar record-wise. They're actually better than when Deshaun Watson's been there. And they're 1-2 in the playoffs. And by the way, like, if I were to ask you who's been a better franchise over the past 3 years, who's better, the Bears or the Colts, what would your answer be?
Who's been a better franchise?
Yeah, who's better? Who's better, Colts or Bears?
Up until this year, it was
the
Bears.
Last 3 years.
Up until this year, it was the Bears. But now, it's about the future. And now the Colts are the better franchise.
Why? How do you know that? Why?
Because the Colts are a really good team. They're a playoff team already. And they are solid everywhere. They have a great defense. They have a really good offensive
last
line.
Last 3 years, they have the exact same record.
Okay.
And the Bears are a double doink field goal away from having the same exact record in the playoffs.
Okay, but right now, if I said to you, you have to bet on one team to make the Super Bowl, and it's the Colts or the Bears, who are you betting on? You have been on one team to make it right now. Because 3 years, I get what you're saying the last 3 years, but
The Colts are built better. I like how the Colts are built better, but we're like, it's like you're like, well, they're going to get a quarterback. Okay, well, who's the quarterback? Tell me who the quarterback is. That kind of makes a difference. They had a Hall of Famer, granted, well past his prime. They had a Hall of Famer at quarterback, and they couldn't win, right? They couldn't win the playoffs. So with what we all think is a great roster, okay? So tell me who the quarterback is. Who's the quarterback? Because the quarterback's Carson Wentz. Who?
It could be Carson. Carson Wentz would be an upgrade over Phillip Rivers.
Okay,
even though Carson Wentz hasn't played well. Rivers couldn't throw the football near the end.
Agreed.
And that's a big deal when your quarterback can't throw.
Carson Wentz couldn't be on the field for the Eagles. I think it would be great for either team to get Carson Wentz. It would be a massive upgrade for either. It would be an upgrade, massive upgrade for Chicago, and an upgrade. Not, I don't think a massive one, because you're going to have to ease. You got to fix him. There's going to be a process of fixing him. And we don't know if he is, in fact, fixable. Okay, what are the other options? Realistic options.
Realistic options at quarterback?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
If you're going through the list, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo is a realistic option because clearly the 49ers want to move on from him. And he has shown in spurts that he can be pretty good, has a strong arm. If you plop him down on a team that's solid around him, he can take him far because he did the same thing with the Niners 2 years ago and got him to the Super Bowl. So Garoppolo would be a nice fit to throw in there in the middle. And you could just kind of hit the ground running with Garoppolo.
Again, but like you're doing the same thing. Like you're saying quarterbacks that their current team doesn't want are going to fix your problems, right? There's a reason those teams don't want those quarterbacks. Is that fair?
Like, sure. I think a lot of it has to do with scheme and being able to fit in, but I see your point.
With Garoppolo and scheme? He was handpicked. The reason they would get rid of Garoppolo is twofold. One, he can't stay healthy. And two, how he performed when they could have won the Super Bowl. That's it, right? They didn't believe in him in the NFC Championship game. That's why he only threw the ball 8 times. And the reason that you get Carson Wentz, there's no difference in the scheme there. Right, it's a very similar scheme. It's dude has completely lost his confidence and completely lost the locker room. The Colts would be eating a ton of dead cap money, just so they could take on Carson Wentz, just so you could get rid of Carson Wentz. That shows how bad they want him out of the building. So my point is that, like, again, this is a lot like the J.J. Watt thing. Like, on paper, you see the name, and you're like, oh, why? How could they cut him? Like, well, J.J. Watt's 32. He's on the way over the hill if he's not over the hill yet. And he's making $17.5 million. So the money, he was going to go. This time of year, names don't mean anything to the guys actually in the trenches. And you can't anoint teams when you don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position, which is why the Texans are in a better position than anybody wants to give them credit. Were the previous two GMs a mess? Yeah. Bad contracts, trade away stuff, sure. But at least they have the signature piece to build around, whereas the Colts and the Bears are building everything else without the quarterback position.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports Radio, in for Dan and the Danettes. All right, let me hit you with a different angle on the Texans to illustrate my point a little bit more here. We talked about winning with stars, right? Beginning of the show, you talked about keeping stars. You have a star quarterback, you keep it. It's not like the NBA. You need to keep your stars. When I see a team that has stars coming in, I think they're going to play better, right? Because if I say between the Texans and the Jaguars, I know the Jaguars have a future star, allegedly, coming in, but Trevor Lawrence, look, I got to believe everybody and what they say on situations about how good he's going to be. So I get that. He's coming in. I look at the Texans, who have just said goodbye to star players and not brought in star players. Like, when they won the AFC South, this is Deshaun Watson, and it's DeAndre Hopkins, and it's Watt in his prime, and it's Jadeveon Clowney, and it's Tyrann Mathieu, and all those guys are gone. And some of it's age, but some of it's trades, and the Texans haven't brought in other star players that tells me, hey, we're going to get back to that level that we're at.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hear you. I just think that, like, let's not... You and I lived in Connecticut for a long time, right? And I remember buying a house in Connecticut, and it was a white house. And I liked it. I liked that it was like a white, and everything there is like cedar shingle, right? That's the siding mm-hmm. there.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with my wife, and she was just like, I want to paint the house. You know, like, why? Well, and every, you know, 7 to 8 or 9 years in Connecticut, because of the weather, you got to paint the house. And I think the house was like, 5 or 6 years old, right? And I'm like, all right, like, let's, so you start negotiating, you get it all over the map. And then we had them start to paint the house while we were on vacation. And we came back and the house was like a quarter of it was painted, and it was like a gray, beigey, taupey sort of, you know, the every house. And I was like, I hate it. Paint it back. I left, it was a white house. I come back and it's like gray, beigey, taupey, whatever. And the advice that I got was like, just, they already started. Let them finish. See how you like it at the end. Now, like a week or 2 weeks, and you know, it rains, they got to stop and whatever. They got to stop for a couple, go by, and I'm still mad. I'm mad. And then all of a sudden, like one day I come home from work and I come driving up Bart Drive and I turn and look and it's done. And I was like, it's all trimmed out. You know, the stuff's off the windows. It's perfect. And I was like, you know, I kind of like it. Now, to this day, I still liked the white house better. It wasn't just my house. But the point was that we're judging these houses like we're in March. They're remaking a football team. They brought in a new GM. They brought in a new coach. Do I think the coach is going to be the coach by the time that they're good? No, I don't. I think they brought in a placeholder. I think ultimately Josh McCown ends up becoming the coach, right? Like that's what it kind of feels like here, is they figure out a way so that the next guy in a couple of years is locked and loaded. And maybe that means Deshaun Watson and maybe that doesn't. I don't know. But we're judging a house which only, they're just now stripping things down. They're just now cleaning it out. They haven't even begun painting it at all. They haven't added a player. They haven't added draft picks. All they're trying to do is get rid of the bad, get rid of the overpriced before they figure it out. And I think making a condemnation over some of their decisions before we see the whole plan, I think would be like me deciding I didn't like the painting of a house when order a quarter of it was done.
Well, that's because you had good people that were painting your house. If you had the Texans painting your house, they would have fired all the painters.
Hold on.
They would have fired all the painters.
Have the Patriots won for the last 15 years?
Yeah, up until this year,
Who's running the Houston Texans?
Right now, Jack Easterby's running the Texans.
That's what you think, because that's what you read in the media, and maybe you're right, but they just hired Nick Caserio, who is a very well-regarded GM.
Okay. Right?
Before they hired Bill O'Brien, they tried to hire him, only Bill Belichick blocked it, right? So that did happen. This has been the guy that they've wanted. So if the guy who ran the Patriots, and they were able to be successful, make chicken you-know-what, like, look, we can defame the Patriots all we want. They had a quarterback who sucked. He can't throw a football anymore. He's done. Okay? They had 8 guys opt out on defense. They lost their best wide receiver for half the year. And they still won 7 games. 7 games in a competitive division. So if that guy's, you're acting like they have idiots running the team when they have new front office guys. Everybody fires the people that were there previously when you bring in new guys. And the guy who's running the team as the general manager is pretty well respected around the league. So I disagree with the idea that they got idiots running this place.
Would you hire a guy that's never painted a house before to paint your house? If you were told, hey, he's great. When he gets a chance to finally paint, he's going to paint the house. It's going to be great.
You talk about Easterby?
Yeah. Are you okay with guys painting your house that haven't done it before?
I don't understand the Easterby thing. I don't know how much influence he truly has. He has been around other football franchises who have made smart decisions. You're assuming that he's painting the house, right? This is a lot like when you do interview a house painter. Like, are you actually painting it or are you subbing it out to some guys? Like, well, you know, I show up for the first couple of days, and then I turn it over to my guys. That's what really happens. So if he's turning it over to guys that know what they're doing, then yeah, I got no problem with it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. The football carousel continues. Coming up next, what is the latest with Russell Wilson in Seattle? Is it really as untenable as it looks? Keep it right here, Fox Sports Radio. Ever wonder just how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from vehicle customization and certified service to financing solutions tailored specifically to your unique business or personal needs. They offer a variety of powerful and efficient vans that can run on your choice of either gas or diesel, like the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play life. lifestyle. With cutting-edge options like Blind Spot Assist with rear cross-traffic alert, active lane keeping assist, plus mobile hotspot Wi-Fi, tracking capabilities, and ingenious MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership for a test drive today. Mercedes-Benz vans. Some equipment described as optional.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan today. Hit us up on Twitter at HowAboutAFresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. And the quarterback carousel continues, and this week has been dominated by news involving Russell Wilson, who now apparently is unhappy with the Seattle Seahawks. Came on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week and said, I don't know if I'm on the trading block. You have to ask them. I'm not really thrilled with all the times I've been getting sacked the past decade or so. And now is the situation so bad that it is untenable between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Joining us now on the hotline, Bob Condotta, who covers the Seahawks and other sports for the Seattle Times. You can follow him on Twitter at @bcondotta. So, Bob, you guys have like topics now for the next like 4 months all set with just Russell Wilson in Seattle. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been such a gift to have the offseason start and immediately have a huge controversy like this coming, for sure.
How is Russell seen inside that locker room?
Well, you know what? I haven't been inside the locker room in 18 months now because of the pandemic. So this is a weirder year than ever to try to assess some of that stuff. But, you know, he's the I don't think there's anything to that, really, that's driving anything that's going on right now. I mean, you know, I think he has a great relationship with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and the guys like that. I think it's a completely different thing than we're 8 or 9 years ago when he walked into the locker room and he was the rookie and he was sort of the new guy who had to find his way. I mean, he's the established vet now. He's the leader of everything. And I don't think there's, you know, any sort of issue there with what his relationship is with anybody in the locker room.
Okay. So what is it about? What's it about that he would say, I'm tired of being hit, that I want more say in management? What's behind all this?
Well, and that said, I'm sure there might be some offensive linemen who are just thrilled with him now after the comments he made. But I don't think there was anything, you know, prior to that. I think he's, you know, he turns 33 in November. They haven't been past the divisional round since the 2014 season. You know, he had to kind of sit and watch the Super Bowl the other day and watch a couple quarterbacks who I think he thinks he's as good as. You know, play in the game, and each have been in the Super Bowl a lot more times recently than he has. I think he's just sort of frustrated by all that. And, you know, I think he's just speaking out more than he ever has about sort of his frustrations with where that is and trying to tell the organization they got to get better at trying to put an offensive line around him.
Bob, it seems like things got really bad really fast, right? Like, Wilson hasn't said anything for a decade, and he does this interview, and now suddenly it's, hey, things seem like they're not going well. Does this go back far? Is this something that's brand new? What is it?
Yeah, I think they haven't been great in the playoffs for a while now. And, you know, people keep talking about what a disaster the team is. I mean, they won 12 games this year. They had one of the best regular seasons in franchise history. But then the playoffs, obviously, were you know, one of the more disappointing games of probably his career and losing at home to the Rams. And so I think that's really festering that they haven't done well there. And, you know, I think Russell is starting again. That he's been in the league 9 years now, and I think he's starting to sort of see the his prime. You know, he's got a couple years left here of his prime, maybe to really get something done. And I think he's feeling some urgency there to do that. No doubt his comments were uncharacteristic for him. He's always been a guy who's been very careful with his words. And so I certainly think there's probably some people in the organization sort of wondering, why is he doing this now? It's not as if the organization doesn't know hasn't been trying to put together a good offensive line. And you know, the organization doesn't want him getting hit all the time either. You know, it's not like anybody's in favor of him getting sacked. all the time. It's just sort of a matter of how do you go about doing that. And I'm not sure they necessarily think this helps anything to try to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, the curious thing is that they pick out, you know, Shane Waldron, and wasn't he involved in the offensive coordinator search? Like we actually did empower you for this, and you were part of the process, and we picked a guy that we think can help, and now all of a sudden you have these comments. Is it accurate that he was a substantial part of the process
picking
a new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, definitely. I think they definitely ran it by him. You know, he had said that after the season that he wanted to be involved in the, you know, we talked to him. He did his season-ending presser after they had already fired Brian Schottenheimer, and he said then that he wanted to be involved in the pick of the new offensive coordinator. By all accounts, he was, and this was, you know, this was something he really wanted. He likes the idea of bringing a lot of elements of the Los Angeles Rams, the Sean McVay offense, into what Seattle does. You know, they hired not only Shane Waldron, but they also hired another assistant from the Rams who is going to be their run game coordinator. So basically, you know, they brought in two guys who will be two of their top three essentially offensive coaches to really try to bring elements of that offense into what they're doing. And so for sure, and you know, I think like the signing of Greg Olsen last year was perceived to be something that Russell really wanted. You know, they pursued Antonio Brown, which was something I know Russell really wanted. They didn't get Antonio Brown, and maybe that's the kind of thing that feeds some of Russell's frustration, that some of these things that maybe they've tried to do didn't work out. But you know, there's been things I think Russell wanted him to do that I think they have gone after and done. So you know, I think that might be why in the organization there might be some head scratching going on here, because I think they feel like they've you know, the things Russell's asking them to do, I think they feel like they've been doing.
Seahawks insider Bob Condotta with us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in today. All right, so when Aaron Rodgers had to watch Jordan Love get drafted, he said something very prescient where he said, "I'd love to finish my career in Green Bay, but I don't think that's possible." Does Russell Wilson finish his career in Seattle, or whether it's this year or next year, he's playing somewhere else?
Well, the big difference there is Russell's a lot younger. So saying, I think it's easy to say he's not going to finish his career in Seattle, because if he really wants to play 12 or 13 more years, that's an awful long time. And, you know, so I don't know how to predict what's going to happen 10 years from now. So I think it's easy to say that he might not finish out his career here for sure. You know, he's kind of at a completely different end of the spectrum a little bit than Rodgers, who's maybe looking at more the back end of things. So I don't think anything's going to happen immediately at all. I mean, you know, $39 million cap hit for next year if they were to trade him. And it's the last thing that the team wanted to do. I mean, they didn't want to have to be thinking right now about I mean, I don't think they are thinking about trading him, but I don't think they even want to had it be an issue that's being publicly out there. You know, they signed him to a contract 2 years ago that made him the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. And, you know, the first year of that contract was this season. And, you know, so I think they felt like they sort of had Russell and, you know, they kind of had Russell's future set up for the next few years. And, you know, you saw both John Schneider, their GM, and Pete Carroll, the head coach, signed new contracts as well. And, you know, Pete made a comment about one of the things he liked about, you know, re-upping with Seattle for another 5 years or so, is that you had a franchise quarterback in tow. And, you know, so that was the plan. So I don't think there's any plan at all to want to trade him or anything.
Yeah, it's always fascinating, right? Like, man, why don't we have better pieces around here? Like, you know, we might have better pieces if you weren't making more money than anybody else in the sport. Like, man, I want some say in personnel. Like, it does to me. It's like, here's just a guess, Bob, and you would know way better than I would, right? He watches Antonio Brown in the Super Bowl, and there's only two guys that reached out to Antonio Brown in terms of quarterbacks and threw with him. One was Tom Brady, the other was Russell Wilson. Just a guess, they probably said, like, hey man, we can't take him. Sorry, like, we can't take him. And who wouldn't love to have Antonio Brown to throw to? Now, would you like to deal with Antonio Brown on a daily basis? The answer for a lot of people is no. But it does strike me as like, but you just got to pick the offensive coordinator. You got a huge contract. We're all set to go. We made the playoffs. What could possibly be bothering you? Oh, you sat with the commissioner and watched Antonio Brown catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's solely about Antonio Brown. And I think they did. You know, they talked about it publicly that it would be something they would consider pursuing. So, you know, Antonio Brown, I think, had other reasons to want to sign with Tampa Bay as well. I mean, he did have the relationship with Brady. He's been living in Florida. So, you know, suddenly uprooting and having to come to Seattle in the middle of a pandemic and all that. You know, I think there easily could have been other reasons Antonio Brown picked to go there. But certainly, yeah, I mean, Seattle had a better regular season record this year than Tampa Bay did. It's not like Seattle put a bad team around Russell Wilson. You know, they won the NFC West and all that. So it just obviously didn't end well in the playoffs. And, you know, everybody over there at the Seahawks organization is going to, you know, is thinking about the ways to try to get that done. And again, they sent a strong statement about the offense by firing the offensive coordinator of a team that had an offense that scored the most points in franchise history this year, and did so without the team getting either a defensive or a special teams touchdown for the first time in franchise history. I mean, all the points were scored by the offense, and you know, but that was something they felt they needed to try to do to improve the offense, and Russell had a say in who the new OC was going to be. So, you know, it's not like they weren't already, you know, thinking and trying to do things to take the offense to an even different level next year.
On Twitter, at B. Condotta, that's at B. Condotta, Bob Condotta, Seattle Seahawks insider for the LA Times. Bob, thanks a bunch for stopping by with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, great stuff there from Bob Condotta. You know, Doug, you bring up a point about he saw Antonio Brown in the Super Bowl and said, oh, man, we could have had him, we didn't get him, and he's winning the Super Bowl. I see it different from Russell Wilson in that he saw the Super Bowl and says, okay, what's going on in my life in the last couple of weeks? We've hired an offensive coordinator whose strength is running the football. My head coach has said we want to run the football. In my career, I have seen Peyton Manning leave his longtime team in the Colts, go someplace where they built around him. He got to two Super Bowls and won one. I'm watching Tom Brady leave his longtime team when they stopped building around him and they stopped getting pieces for him. I saw him jump to Tampa. He wins a Super Bowl in the first year. See, I see Russell Wilson as I'm laying the groundwork that if in 2021 things don't go my way and things don't get better and this team isn't where we think it's going to be and I'm not being used the right way, I'm using the after this year to be my escape hatch for next year.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's just signed a contract. He's going nowhere. So, and to anybody who thinks, well, running the football is a bad thing, like, how do you think Aaron Rodgers reinvigorated his career? How do we think Tom Brady continues to do this, right? Like the whole game plan against Kansas City Chiefs was run the football, get rid of it quickly. I mean, part of the problem with holding on to the football, with getting hit in Seattle, is he holds on the football a ton, which we love because every Seattle Seahawks game seems the same, right? Seahawks down late, Russell Wilson running around making a play. And most more times than not, he makes a play. Sometimes he doesn't. That's how the games kind of look. But I don't see it as you get a guy who's a young, dynamic offensive coordinator. You try and resuscitate your run game in order to give you a great pass game. I also love that like I don't trust these GM guys. Like, well, who the hell do you think got you DK Metcalf where he got it to you in the draft? Like, who do you think drafted you? It's like bothersome to me that we do this narrative thing. We're like these guys who study it their entire lives. Like that's what John Schneider, like he's been doing it for a long time. And the guys he's hit on, like, yeah, should they have drafted a first round draft pick running back? No, but they all make bad picks. Go through any one of these teams, go through the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jason Light's made terrible picks. They all make bad picks. It's a numbers game. And, you know, again, it's the diamonds in the rough you can find. And so their three best offensive players were all drafted by the guy who you're saying, hey, I want to say in your job. That's what I want to do. It just sounds to me almost comically dumb. And he's not going, if you don't like the progress of your organization, you know what I would tell people not to do? Don't sign a long-term contract with that organization because you don't actually have a say. You don't.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, now we're trying to get into this last hour, but then J.J. Watt gets released. We spend a lot of time on that. But is Tom Brady about to get a superstar wide receiver for next season in the NFL? That's straight ahead right here, Fox Sports Radio. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash, so you already know there's cash inside before you open it. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. Cash back match only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan today, actually in for Dan on Monday as well as we are. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. We got some final thoughts on Trevor Lawrence coming up in a couple minutes as he's finished his pro day. But this story, Doug, you know, we were going to get into it last hour, but J.J. Watt getting released, spent a lot of time talking about that. Jeff Darlington of ESPN had a report yesterday that there is mutual interest between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham potentially uniting in Tampa Bay next year. What do you think, if I had to say percentage chance that Odell Beckham winds up in Tampa with Brady next year, what would you say?
I don't know. I mean, I would in the 25% variety, right? Like, you know, first you have to have Cleveland admitting a mistake and admitting that they're probably better off without him. You have to figure out some way in which Tampa would be willing to give, you know, to give them some draft picks in order to satisfy whatever desire they would have for him. I mean, I think Tom is in the position right now to where he just wants to be everybody's friend. Like, yeah, man, I'd love for you to come. Love for it to happen. Right. And if he's in the perfect position, because if it doesn't happen, it's like, my bad, man. Like, it's just not my call. Like, we just, those guys didn't make the move, right? He can just point fingers that way. So do I think OBJ wants a piece of that? Yeah, I think lots of guys, because it completely changed the perception of who you are if you're a winner. And I think, you know, smartly, Odell Beckham Jr. would like to be a part of that. The problem with that is the teams that he was on, you know, he had that one Giants playoff team, but for the most part, they've been better without him. The Browns have been better since he got hurt. Whether they're actually better or not, it doesn't matter. The wins are better than the losses since he got injured.
See, I'm going the other way. I think this is more like 85 or 90%, because the Browns, they can move on from now because they're good. You know, if the Browns were still struggling and trying to figure things out, it's a really tough optic to move on from Odell, and then the story becomes, look at everything he gave up for him. You made a mistake. It doesn't matter anymore. The Browns are good. Not that they don't need him, but clearly the offense still functions pretty well. Baker Mayfield doesn't have to worry about getting him involved in the game plan early and forcing throws to him. So it's easier for the Browns to move on. And for Tampa Bay, it's kind of twofold. What Tom Brady wants, Tom Brady gets. He wanted Antonio Brown. Bruce Arians says he is not part of this team. There is no way we are going after Antonio Brown. He is not fit anything we're doing. What happened? Antonio Brown moved in with Tom Brady, and he caught a big pass in the Super Bowl for a touchdown. They got Antonio Brown. So if he wants Odell, he's going to get him. And they have two receivers that are going to wind up. They could wind up losing. They could wind up losing Antonio Brown this year in the offseason. They could wind up losing Chris Godwin. And the one thing we see from Brady is that he's staying at a high level and played at a much higher level this year than in New England, because he had great weapons all around him. He had two really good running backs. He had two good tight ends. He had three or four good, solid to fantastic receivers. So they're going to have to keep that that flow going in of, hey, we got to keep bringing talent in to keep Brady at the top of his game, because we saw what it was like in New England when they didn't have it for him. We got it here. We got to keep it going.
Well, the problem with that is it does come down to the money, right? OBJ, it's a $15.7 million cap hit. Okay, how do you navigate that? If you're Tampa, what does it look like? What would he leave behind in terms of dead cap money? It's a 12.79. Like, Cleveland's not, they're going to absorb 12.79 million in dead cap money so he can go play with Tom Brady. Like, the reality of it is, I don't think it's likely. I think the following year, it's when the dead cap money goes away, that's when it becomes a lot more possible. The other part to it is, like, was Brady that great? When was great Brady that great?
After the bye. After the bye,
they played the four worst teams. They played the Atlanta twice. They played Carolina. I forget who else they played. They played four bad teams. Then they played Washington, who was a bad team, made the playoffs because they were the best of the bad teams in the NFC East. So, and he wasn't very good in that game. They won. They beat Taylor Heineke, who's fine, whatever. Okay. Then they went and they beat Drew Brees, right? Okay, but I mean, really the Saints had the lead and then fumbled right around midfield, if not for that fumble. And he wasn't great in that game. He threw three picks in the Green Bay game, and he was fine. He was good in the Super Bowl. Like, was he the reason that they won? I guess. You know, the defense was the reason they won. They ran the football. He got it to Gronk. Like, he was fine. Like, let's not act like he set the world on fire because of the weapons that were around him. Like, he didn't really use Godwin that much in the Super Bowl. He didn't really use Mike Evans. He got back to tight ends, underneath stuff, and occasionally taking a deep shot, which, as you even admitted, like, it's not really his strength at this point in his career. So I think that Tampa, there's something to the sweat equity with Chris Godwin, that he's one of their guys more so than Odell Beckham Jr. And it's like the reason that Antonio Brown makes sense, the reason that Rob Gronkowski makes sense, is because those guys don't need money anymore. They don't need money. Would you take Odell Beckham Jr.? Yeah, if he wants to come at veterans minimum, absolutely. I don't have to trade for him. Would you take Odell Beckham Jr. if you have to trade multiple draft picks for him? And you know, how is Cleveland going to? You think Cleveland's going to give him away when they have $12.7 million in dead cap money? No, that doesn't happen.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. All right, real quick.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence finishes pro day, and
yes,
by all
hair
accounts,
looks amazing.
It was a big success, right? He threw about between 35 and 50 passes, hit on almost every one of them. Do you buy pro days? Like, oh, hey, this guy was great on the pro day. It means a lot. Or you know, it's a pro day. The guys throw into air. You're expecting this.
I don't really buy them, but I do. What's his name? Georgia.
Jake Fromm.
You know, Jake Fromm. Okay. Do I buy pro days? No. I mean, it's a scripted thing, and there is something to it's performance art. But I do think that seeing a guy throw in person, is very, very telling. Very telling. And Fromm is a perfect example. Last year at the Combine, remember he threw. And when you watched him against other guys throwing, you're like, oh, he can't ever play in the NFL. He just doesn't have the arm for it, right? Mm-hmm. So to that point, I think it's valuable. But otherwise, not terribly, not really. Where are you on it?
See, I think you can only hurt yourself. You know, like Matt Leinart had a really bad pro day, and he went from being the number one pick in the draft to sliding to number 10. You're supposed to do well, and it really only stands out if you're bad. You know, and that's where it's like, boy, you really just hurt yourself, because pro day people walk away going, man, you couldn't make those plays. That's a tough deal.
Yeah, I also maybe that's just who you are, right? Again, like if you don't have the arm, you don't have the arm. There's no hiding it. You can't hide it forever. Eventually somebody's going to find out.
The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb. Hit us up on Twitter at HowAboutAFresca. Doug is at Gottlieb Show. We're back again on Monday, filling in for Dan and the Danettes. Doug, I'll see you on Monday, my friend.
I will see you, buddy.
This is Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.